Today we're looking into Zelophehad. And his name, some places it's uncertain origin, but it means protection against fear. He was the son of Hefer, a descendant of Manasseh through Gilead, in Joshua 17 and 3. He died without male heirs, and his five daughters claimed his inheritance. The claim was admitted divine direction, and a law was promulgated, or made known, to be of general application, that if a man died without sons, his inheritance should pass to his daughters. Still further enactment in chapter 36 provided that such heirs should not marry outside of their own tribes, regulation which the five daughters of Zelophehad complied with, all being married to Manassites. In Numbers 26, we see that God called Moses to take a census of the new generation of Israel, who were about to enter the promised land. Within this list are the names of the males who were the heads of the tribes and families. The women were not numbered. It took great faith for the five daughters to come before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the chiefs, and all the congregation of the tent of meeting to wisely make their plea. First, they cleared their father's name, declaring he was not a rebel. Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the company of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, in verse 3. Then they made it clear there were no sons to inherit the father's land, and asked if they could have their father's inheritance. Moses took this matter straight to Yahweh, who declares the daughters of Zelophehad are right, in verse 6. If a man dies and has no son, then you shall transfer his inheritance to his daughters. These women were single and could have played the victim. They could have gone out about complaining or rushed into marriage to solve their problem themselves. But they did not. These were noble, godly women who trusted that God would provide for them and were willing to courageously step outside their comfort zone to see this happen. They trusted the leadership of Moses and God to be gracious and just, and because of their faith, they were protected against fear. This land these women were asking for, they had never seen. In chapter 26, the promised land was being divided amongst the people. The generation that went before them were fearful about entering the promised land, and consequently, they all died in the wilderness and did not get to enter the promised land. The daughters of Zelophehad believed in a land to come. They believed it was good, and they wanted an inheritance there. They had faith that could be used by God to bring about change. They had courage to approach leaders to make a change. As a result, they were given a portion of the land. They not only gained an inheritance for themselves, but for all the women in this situation for generations to come. Pretty much. But one of the aspects I was trying to look at in this as well was to see if there was anything more in the daughters themselves or their names, which even those are mostly uncertain origin or mentioned once. Even trying to look up Noah, you don't find that one very easily either, because it always goes to Noah in the beginning. But one of the interesting things that I was trying to figure out, and I couldn't figure out, was in Numbers 26 and 33, when it lists the daughters, it's Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. But in 36 and 11, which in the context of when they were preparing for marriage, it changes the listing to Mala, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah. So it changes the second and the last one in order, which initially they're ordered in age, but I don't know why it changes later on. But mala, let's see. And some of the definitions of their names as well came up as opposites or different. Mala would be either sickness or song. Noah is movement, wanderer. Pagla was one of the ones that didn't really have a definition at all, but many sources seem to refer to it as partridge, the bird. Why a bird? An offering? In that kind of reference?
Yeah, I don't think it's the practice that we think of.
Hmm. It would make more sense because it ties in. Milka comes from Malka, meaning queen or council. But in a lot of places, it talks about from Melek to be king, to rule. And Terza is delightsomeness or pleasantness. To be favorable to someone, to be well-disposed. So even in a lot of the definitions of their names, it kind of defines the character too. If you put them all together, that's why I was wondering if any of the order of the names, why would it change if the one order kind of tells a story a certain way and then you change the definitions, it might mean something different at that point in their life. But
could it be that the order was to get married?
Well, that the secondary part?
Yeah, it's typically from eldest to youngest. Remember when Jacob wanted Rachel, but Dad said, no, that's not how we do it. We get the eldest first.
Right.
I just wondered if maybe Terza jumped in.
Well, that, I mean, it's such a...
Before the rest of it.
Yeah.
So that's just as well.
Well, that's what a lot of this is, too. Because it's hard to really find anything solid on a lot of these names or a lot of it.
Is there any significance to why it's not?
Well, that's kind of why, what is it, I forget what I had read about that. I forget. We all forget. There we go. Well, five is the number of grace, free gift of God, the number of mercy. So, I mean, tying into the character of Zelophehad himself through what his daughters did and how they handled things, and it's really a lot of what I got out of it.